Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Lots of NFL teams around the league are having their first practices. That's got to feel good. We'll get you a little football news as we head through this hour of the show. In fact, we've got Tom Brady and Josh Allen and even Jason Garrett. He's got a new job, you know. Man, it feels like forever since the biggest debate in sports was whether or not Jason Garrett should lose his job or would lose his job as head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Man alive. August, well, just 2020 in general, but being in here in August of 2020, it has changed my perspective on so much in sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Good to hear from so many of you on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. And you're telling me which playoff series you're psyched about. And I guess it's okay if you pick more than one. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Before I talk any more sports, I have to make sure I say thank you. So many of you, dozens of you, sent me sweet messages either on Twitter or Facebook about my pending Skype call with my 98-year-old grandmother. And I did not put anything on social media about it. I didn't post her picture. I don't think she noticed that I was busy snapping pictures of her while we were Skyping. So I wanted to tell you the story, but thank you. You all are very sweet. And I know many of you have similar stories where you've not been allowed to see some of your elderly or at-risk loved ones. And in the worst cases, people have passed away and loved ones have not been able to go to their services or attend their funerals. I know that was the case for me with a longtime friend of mine who passed away from cancer in the month of May. And so it's hard because we're separated. And in the case of my grandmother, like many of you, there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. She lives in Wisconsin. I live in New Jersey. And if the quarantine requirements weren't strict enough, her assisted living facility won't even consider a visit from someone who's out of state. Not if I would go and take a test, not if I would completely quarantine for a few days, nothing. They won't even consider someone from outside her own town in Wisconsin right now. And so my uncle is the only one who is allowed to see her, and he still isn't allowed to hug her. He can't get anywhere near her. He has to wear a mask. She wears a mask. They sit outside, and they're at either end of a table. He is getting weekly visits with her, but they're 15 minutes, and there's someone there with them the whole time. So it's atypical, and it's difficult, and there's really no way that I can get to her, unfortunately. And so in light of that, my uncle asked her facility and the people that work at her facility if there was any way that they could set up a video conference call for me. I don't know that my other family members want to do it. It doesn't seem like they've asked. She's never done it before, so I was the first one. In fact, my Grammy has never used a cell phone. She's never had a device or a desktop or a laptop or anything like that. She is completely undigital. She's completely undigitized. She's anti-digital, as a matter of fact. Her phone, while it is cordless, it's a landline, and it's got one of those answering machines still that, you know, rings four times, and it's my uncle's voice on the answering machine. So she's not she's not advancing into the 21st century, and that's fine. She's 98 years old. She's still very lucid. She's smart. She's funny. She's easy to have a conversation with. And my only concern was that something would go wrong with the technology. So I set my alarm to be able to get up in time to take care of my pets and then turn on the computer with 10 minutes to spare, just to be sure that I wouldn't miss the call. And my alarm went off. I turned off the alarm. I fell back asleep like a dope. And so I wake up and now it's 15 minutes until her call. Well, I had to rush through feeding the dog, getting the dog outside. Then I turn on my computer, which takes about 90 seconds, maybe more, to boot up. I can't get Skype to open. Oh my goodness. I was freaking out. So by this time, it's 5 minutes past the point at which we are supposed to talk. And I am thinking, you idiot. You just completely ruined this amazing opportunity that you were so excited about your first time. And you're not going to be able to talk to her because you missed the call. I sit there and I sit there and no call comes through. And Skype doesn't indicate there was a missed call while I wasn't logged in. So I finally decide, okay, I better call her apartment and see what's going on. So I call her apartment and a woman's voice, not my Grammys, picks up the phone and says, Helen's room. So thankfully I knew that there was someone there. So I explained to her that I was logged in and I was ready to go. And she said, we cannot find you. We've looked, this is really funny. We've looked at your email. We've looked for your name. We can't find you on Skype. And I hear my grandmother in the background. I can't remember your phone number. She said, my Grammy said didn't tear her apartment apart, but she's got this area on her table, her end table in her living room where she keeps all of her papers and her phone. Well, her phone book is really a notebook. And so she keeps all her important numbers and papers there. She said, I looked for it everywhere and I couldn't find your phone number, which is fine because my phone number wouldn't have worked with Skype. She uses my home phone, and that obviously wouldn't have worked with Skype. So anyway, I hear her in the background. I can't find your phone number. So they give me their number. I call the computer. It was a laptop that was sitting in front of my Grammy. And all of a sudden, my Grammy's large head is filling my computer. And I say large head because she was sitting very close to the camera. I don't know how many of you have done a video call or a Skype call or Zoom, whatever it is, with someone who's not really familiar with the technology or comfortable with it. And so my Grammy was sitting so close to the computer, she was leaning toward it. So she was in her chair and the computer was on the ottoman and she is leaning toward it. So her entire head fills my computer screen, which was, it was great. I got to see her up close and personal, and it was awesome. So Ashley, who was helping us out, once she connected us, she left for a little bit and let us talk. And I had to yell. My Grammy wears hearing aids, so with the extra technology, I had to yell. But that's fine. Whatever. I yell all the time. And she looks so pretty. She was dressed up in a purple short sleeve shirt, and then she had a jacket with purple flowers on over it. And her hair was done. So I told the story on the air a couple weeks ago, but she was all upset because her hair had gotten so long. She hadn't had a perm or gotten it cut at all during the spring of the summer. And they had finally brought in someone who could do hair, but the woman had so many appointments. Everybody wanted to get their hair done. Even at 98, that's really important. My Grammy told me, I can't go out because I'm so embarrassed. My hair looks like this. Which I was like, I feel like I've said that many times over the course of 2020. Anyway, her hair was done. And so my Grammy is sitting in front of the computer and she's trying to smush her hair down. And she says, well, she didn't cut it short enough and it's really poofy, which it was. I did tell her it looked a little poofy. It's beautiful white, but it was definitely poofy. Maybe that's good for me, though. If I got my Grammy's jeans, I could live to be mid-90s. She has no health issues at all except reflux. That's her worst health issue. And she's had diabetes for forever and ever, but she manages it. Those are her worst health issues. And everything else about her is great. I mean, she needs to walk with a walker, but she's friggin' 98. So I hope I have her genes and I still have a full head of hair that I can complain about when I'm 98 years old. You guys, she was so cute. I tried to get a photo of her smiling, but she was, of course, she wasn't looking at the camera. She was kind of looking at me on the camera or on the screen. And so I did get a couple of pictures. But it was just so good to see her face. And she did say to me, I wish I could hug you. Which, of course, made me start crying. And I was yelling at the end, Grammy, I love you. And she doesn't say anything because she didn't hear me. Grammy, I love you. Oh, I love you too. And then this is the best part. I'm sure many of you have had this situation too, where she doesn't know what to do to turn off the call. And while Ashley is trying to commandeer the computer again to disconnect the call, my Grammy's like, what do I do? Well, I don't know what to do now. She's talking to Ashley, but she's still on the computer. So I got to hear all of that. It was just amazing. And I did ask, because I don't want to take advantage of the opportunity, but I did ask, you know, can we do this again in a couple of weeks? And Ashley said, absolutely. You can call and schedule another visit anytime. I'm happy to help. And oh my gosh, it was amazing to see her face live and in color and to be able to tell her that I loved her, which I do every time I talk to her, but just to have the opportunity to see her smile and to make her laugh. And oh, here's something else. I didn't want to confuse her too much. So I'm sure many of you, when you have a video call, you may show the person you're talking to your house or whatever else is going on, right? My grandmother has not seen my new house, obviously, nor has she ever met my dog. So Penny, she's heard many stories about Penny. Penny was laying down next to me on the floor in my office. And so I picked up the computer and I moved it so that Grammy could see Penny. And Penny yawned. I was like, great, Pen, way to go. And my Grammy made a joke about how we were waking Penny up from her nap. And then I walked the computer into the living room, showed my Grammy the living room, and also showed her, like, kind of pointed the computer out the front door. And she was able to see my yard. And she said, that looks like a really nice neighborhood. And after that, she seemed like she was a little confused by all of the images that were zooming past the camera. So I went and sat back down again. But she did get to see Penny in my front yard. And mostly, though, I get to see her beautiful face for the first time in a year, because August was the month I visited her last year. And so it's been a full year. And I don't know when I'll get to see her again, but at least I now have the option. My 98-year-old grandmother can Skype. How about that? And again, thank you for caring and thank you for all of your notes. They came in all day on Thursday and they mean a lot to me. I'm glad that you care about my Grammy, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I don't really know where to go from there. But how about we go from there to another old person? He's not that old. He's not old at all. But Tom Brady, obviously getting ready to start a new chapter in his career. And I'm telling you what, if for no other reason than the fear of Tom Brady, I would not want to be a member of the Buccaneers who violated protocols and had to stand in front of his entire locker room. Let's just say worst case scenario, a bunch of guys get the virus and they miss a couple games. Could you imagine how livid Brady is?
Oh, boo-hoo. Like, ugh.
Not Joe Kelly necessarily. Also, did you see, before I get back to Brady, did you see that the Seahawks cut a rookie cornerback who tried to sneak a woman, I don't know if she was a chick, tried to sneak a woman into his hotel room? What? I do not understand people. What is wrong with people? Seriously. You haven't even made the team yet. And you already decide it's worth the risk. And here's the great part. Well, or it's the are you freaking kidding me part. The woman showed up at his hotel dressed in all Seahawks garb to try to pretend like she was a player.
Hashtag Facepalm Friday.
Because that would actually work. What fan / young woman out there could dress up in Seahawks t-shirt, jersey, hat, and actually pass for a player? Sometimes human beings and their awful decisions never cease to amaze me. The woman didn't even get into his hotel room, and he was already cut by the Seahawks. I just feel like in this particular year, it's the one year where you should learn from the mistakes of others. I get it. Most people, they want to learn themselves. The whole do as I say, not as I do thing doesn't really fly with young people. It didn't with me. But come on, man. First the Marlins, then the Cardinals, then Zach Plesac and Mike Clevenger, and now a Seahawks cornerback who hasn't even made the team. He hasn't even played a snap in the NFL yet. And now he may not. Not his rookie year. Because how many other teams out there just have roster spots lying around? Oy. It's crazy. You just forfeited this incredible opportunity with a team that has a real chance to make some noise and a defense that's being rebuilt. You had a chance to learn from some other great defensive players in Seattle, not to mention a coach that almost always has his guys prepared to succeed. And you thought sneaking a woman slash practice squad player into your hotel room was a worthy risk to take. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one who finds that crazy. It's not like you're going to get away with it. You were never going to get away with it. Ever. Do they not get that there are cameras everywhere in these hotels? And that now there's clandestine security posted up at every entrance and exit? Oh my gosh. I mean, higher stakes, higher than ever. If you want to forfeit that position, guess what? There are another 24 players that would step up and take that spot right now and probably already have, just in case you thought Pete Carroll was messing around. All right, you can find me on Twitter. We will get to Tom Brady. We'll do some QB news coming up here. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. It's great to talk to you. Thanks for your tweets. Thanks for your Facebook posts. It's our final few hours of the week, which is awesome. And so, yeah, there's still a lot to cram in. We've got Mark Emmert from the NCAA finally weighing in on fall championships in college sports, not just football, actually, but the other college sports as well. And we're talking about the NBA playoff picture and good stuff to get to. It's more fun to do this job when there's a lot happening in sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Have the off-season blues?
Blake Bortles delivers to his tight end.
Mariota drop. Fires downfield. It's caught to the 5, to the end zone. Oh, my goodness.
How about the Hail Mary from Winston?
He's to the 5. He's in for the touchdown.
What a play by Manning.
Rodgers.
In the end zone.
Time for QB News on After Hours.
Speaking of old people, no, 98's not old. It's just a number, right, Grammy? And neither is 43 or whatever Tom Brady is now. I've lost track. He's in his 40s and he's still raring to go, still fired up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. A lot of NFL teams starting their actual practice phase of training camps. What did Julian Edelman say earlier this week? It's phase one or two or whatever phase we're in. So they're actually getting to practice now, which is good. They need the reps. And for Tom Brady, it's the reps that matter because he had all spring to study and to read the playbook.
It's been different having the opportunity, you know, over this time to, you know, move and then to, you know, for example, study my playbook. I mean, I really haven't had to do that in 19 years. So, you know, you forget, man, that's really tough. Like all the different terminologies and, you know, you're going back a very long time in my career to, you know, to really have to put the mental energy in like I did.
It's interesting perspective, right? So he doesn't need to practice his throwing. He definitely doesn't need to work on staying in shape because he does yoga and eats avocado toast and all that jazz. But what he did need was the time to move his family to Florida. Didn't he rent Derek Jeter's old mansion or something? And then he also needed the time to learn this new playbook. And even if it's actual X's and O's that he's familiar with and could execute in his sleep, all the terminology is different. And in a different system with different personnel, there's a lot to absorb, even if you are Tom Brady. The thing is, though, that as much as you may know the terminology, and I'm sure he knows it front and back by now, there's only so much time for them to actually be on the practice field. Remember, the NFL is limiting the amount of time that these guys are in pads, and this is what the NFLPA wanted. No preseason games. And so, like it or not, there is still going to be a major learning curve once you're actually on the field.
I think the reality is the clock's ticking on everybody. And we're going to have to work as hard as we can and not waste any minutes of any day trying to get used to one another and embrace the challenge and see it as an opportunity to see, you know, what we can become.
But of all the things that Bruce Arians has to worry about right now, he will tell you flat out that his veteran quarterback, the elder statesman, is not one of them.
He's probably the least of my worries right now. He's where he needs to be. We need to get more live reps, you know, blocking and tackling. This game's a blocking and tackling game, and 14 days to block and tackle. Is that enough?
That's a good question. As I've said, new house rule. You cannot complain about 6-4 final scores in the NFL in the first month. Nope. We're not complaining about how bad the offense is. We're not complaining about how low scoring the games or how out of rhythm. No, we're going to be thrilled that there's NFL action at all, and we're going to appreciate it, not take it for granted. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Lots of coaches and players changing teams, changing uniforms, trying to get used to a new locker room, a new routine, everything new during the course of 2020, and that includes Jason Garrett. Now, New York is not entirely new for him. He was with the Giants earlier in his career, but now he's the offensive coordinator, fresh off of the Dallas Cowboys head coaching job. He wasn't out of work for very long. The Giants bring him back, and he has the chance to work with second-year QB Daniel Jones.
He is a football guy. He loves football, and he's always so prepared. He's always studying his stuff. He always has great questions and wants to get better. And my experience has been when you have that kind of approach and that kind of attitude, if you have some ability – you're going to keep growing and getting better every day, and he's certainly done that.
Jason Garrett, a former quarterback himself, and before he took over as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, there were a lot of people that would have looked at him and said, or did look at him and say, he's got a great offensive mind. Certainly, what people said about him in his final few years of the Dallas Cowboys being too conservative, not putting players in positions to succeed, all of that jazz, the clapping, like that really matters. He's no longer yours to kick around, Dallas. And I think it's cool that he is so excited about a new opportunity. He did speak briefly about moving on from Dallas. We'll let you hear that coming up here after our CBS Sports Radio. Congratulations to Buffalo head coach Sean McDermott, a 6-year contract extension. Now, he still had 2 years on his deal with the Bills, but that will keep him with the franchise through 2025. Of course, he's already helped to lead the Bills to the playoffs two of the first 3 years since he took over. And with the growth of Josh Allen, if it continues along the arc where it has been the last couple years, you would expect that the expectations would skyrocket. A lot of people pointing to the Bills as a team to watch this year, potentially a team that could take over as the AFC East champions. But the consistency is important, and Josh Allen has it in Coach McDermott.
He's worked extremely hard, and he deserves every single, you know, penny that he's going to get. You know, as far as the direction of this team, like he's led us in the right direction. I know Buffalo hadn't been in the playoffs in 17 years, whatever the case may be. He comes in 3 and takes us to 2. So, I mean, he's got this team on the right trajectory.
He definitely does, and I agree about the consistency. It's so important, even when franchises feel like they've made a poor choice in choosing a coach. I don't think it's the right thing to be changing a coach every year, every other year. That's why I worry about the Cleveland Browns. It's not so much that I don't believe Kevin Stefanski could be the real thing. It's that they have done nothing but change coaches. Think about it. Baker Mayfield going into his 3rd year, and this is essentially the 4th head coach that he will have. It's just a lot. It's a lot of constant change, and constant change equals constant losing. That is one of my principles about sports. Constant change equals constant losing. So for a franchise in the NFL like the Bills to go ahead and invest in their head coach. Or we talked about the Celtics and Brad Stevens getting a contract extension. Those extensions, especially when they're long-term, are so important because they indicate a confidence by management to stand pat and to continue on the current trajectory. Speaking of extensions, the Niners are finally making George Kittle the highest paid tight end in NFL history. This was a rumor, a report that was out there, but according to multiple sources, Thursday, done deal, 5 years, $75 million. And the reported signing bonus was $30 million. And that was right away off the top. And so 5 years, $75 million, and $30 million guaranteed at signing. So congratulations to George Kittle. There was also a big deal for Travis Kelce of the Chiefs, who's got the shiny bling now.
Mahomes magic.
Doesn't matter. Well, I'll put myself in his shoes. It wouldn't matter to me if I was the highest paid tight end, if I'm the one who had the shiny Super Bowl ring. But his was 4 years, $57.25 million. So average annual value is slightly higher, but it's with the George Kittle. But we're talking about 4 years versus 5 years. And so both those guys, two of the best tight ends in the NFL, if you think about the others who have signed deals or have had recent commitments from their teams, Austin Hooper, that came from the Cleveland Browns in March. His was 4 years, $42 million. And so these guys are over and above. They're the next tier. And right now they're the two tight ends that you don't want to miss in action. And they're such great weapons for their respective quarterbacks. And think about the way that Kittle burst onto the scene, too, and how important he was in their run to the Super Bowl. But also, I mean, they ran into the Chiefs there. And Travis Kelce, what a weapon. He is so steady and such a big body, physical and tough. And when you consider the different look that he gives, the different skill set that he brings to the table when compared with some of the smaller, speedier wide receivers, it's such a perfect combination for Patrick Mahomes and the Andy Reid offense. So cool stuff coming from the NFL. Now, we still have a little bit of college football and college fall sports cleanup that I want to get to. So the tumultuous week that's been for college sports is not over. We had not heard from NCAA President Mark Emmert until Thursday, but yet another domino drops on Thursday, and we'll get to that. And in addition, if you haven't yet heard the Joe Kelly audio, him describing exactly why he believes the Astros deserve everything they get, we'll squeeze that in as well before the end of the show. There's so much that I want to get to. It's a busy Thursday night / Friday morning in August, which I can't get used to. Hello, Joe. Good morning to you. Here's our latest sports update. Chris is having so much fun with the Joe Kelly.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
If you're waking up on your Friday morning, but at least your weekend would presumably start sooner than many people. So that's what we say all the time here. As much as it's tough sometimes to work the overnight hours, we always exult in the fact that our Friday begins at 3:00 in the morning Pacific time, but our time 6 a.m. And by the time I get home and walk the dog, it's 7:15-ish, 7:30. The only issue is, so I had such a wonderful time Skyping with my Grammy. Now I have a video call on Friday, lunchtime, with the boss. Exactly. We normally have these host calls on Thursday afternoons, which is difficult. I will say that. It's difficult to wake up in the middle of the day when you're in between shows. But a Friday, usually that's it, right? It's Friday. I can sleep. I can catch up on sleep. I can not talk all day if that's what I want to do. I can look like a total bum if that's what I want to do. But the boss actually thought he was doing me a favor because it wasn't a night a day when I had to work. So I agreed. I agreed to wake up and be part of the host call. Go team. if you haven't heard the Joe Kelly yet, just wait. That's only a snippet of it. And it's the funny part, but it's not the funniest part. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Just a side note, we'll share the Joe Kelly with you after the top of the hour. But you know that he's getting the chosen or the desired effect when people are writing to me to call him a B-I-T-C-H. That's exactly what he wants. He wants to get under the skin of the Astros and Astros fans. He's trying to do that. He's mad that he got suspended for 5 games. And so he's trying to dish it out. He's an instigator, you guys. He is like Draymond Green. This is what he does. I'm trying to think of some other athletes who are... Terrell Owens, trying to get under your skin. Trying.
Oh, boo-hoo. Like.
It works so well. It worked on the field, and now it works in a podcast. Okay, but we'll get to that after the top of the hour, I promise. Mark Emmert had to deliver more bad news to college athletes on Thursday. Now, we had not heard from him around this whole college football fiasco, and I call it that because it was so unorganized and because really you don't have any type of a unanimous decision. And I know that it's difficult to get everybody on the same page, but it still seems like there are more questions than answers. So Mark Emmert had kind of stepped back. In fact, he has admitted now he has no authority over what the Power Five do with the college football championship. But the other championships that fall under the umbrella of the NCAA, those are ones that he can speak out about. And on Thursday, he had to deliver some terrible news to the other athletes, not necessarily college football, but those other athletes that were still holding out hope they could compete for titles.
We cannot now, at this point, have fall NCAA championships because there's not enough schools participating. The board also established, Board of Governors also said, look, if you don't have half of the schools playing a sport, you can't have a legitimate championship. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't and can't turn toward winter and spring and say, okay, how can we create a legitimate championship for all those students? My staff's been working hard on it, been talking to a lot of commissioners, all the commissioners, all 32 of them in D1, and there are ways to do this.
So the news is just as painful for those athletes that compete in every other sport outside of FBS football. So his decision, and he cites the Board of Governors and the rules that are written into the NCAA bylaws, it affects 22 different championships, including FCS football. So FBS is the football bowl series. FCS, it stands for football championship series, I think, but it's not covered under the college football championship. And so because the number of schools that are still moving forward with fall sports fell below 50%, that happened with the Big East. It was essentially the final domino to drop. When the Big East announced that they would not have fall sports, the number of schools required to hold these championships fell below that 50% line. And so even though you do have schools that are planning to move forward, there aren't enough to hold championships. And he mentions the winter and spring. It's possible. I wouldn't say it's likely. And it would take some major planning. It would take so much effort into organizing the logistics. If you think about the number of sports and athletes and not just that, but facilities. And then think about the testing and the protocols and also the travel. And just there's so much that happens. You're stretching your university personnel thin, your training staff, your compliance officers. I mean, what about the cleaning crews that are going to have to constantly be turning over these facilities? And so there's just a lot that could go wrong, not to mention the virus might still be a major threat at that point. And so right now, Mark Emmert is saying we're going to investigate, but we don't know whether or not that's a possibility. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
If schools and conferences want to move forward and try and have, and more than half of them want to do it, and that's surely the indication right now, then let's do it. We can use the fall, as I said, to keep kids healthy, keep them engaged with their coaches and their athletic departments, focus on their academic success, you know, work with them and let them practice and you know, stay ready to play. Then let's go compete at that time.
Okay, so that's all about the spring and focusing on the spring, and hopefully they will stick to that and come up with a plan, because if they could possibly preserve the soccer championships, volleyball, cross country, the other non-revenue producing sports, well, then they should. The issue is that you still have a lot of athletes, namely seniors, who are attempting to make decisions about their future based on hope. They hope that they will have the opportunity to compete come the winter and the spring, but there's no guarantee. And so it's difficult to make a decision about your future and graduating and job hunting and everything else when you don't know for sure if there will be the opportunity to play your sport come January, February, March, April. Not only because of the virus, because you don't know if logistically it's possible for your school. Duke women's soccer coach Robbie Church had this quote: "We knew it was coming. We'd been counting the numbers and the teams going out, but once it's reality, it hurts." Yeah, even if it was considered inevitable, even if the writing was on the wall, so to speak, it doesn't make it any less painful. And so we've talked about the college football aspect of this a lot more, just because those are the high-profile, revenue-producing sports. The football that very often drives the entire athletic budget of the major schools. But there are thousands and thousands of athletes who felt that same thud and disappointment in seeing their own sports taken away and the opportunity to compete for championships abruptly come to an end. And we talked about this and these emotions going back to the spring. Not just March Madness, men's and women's basketball, but think about some of the others. Gymnastics. I remember we had a phone call from a parent whose daughter was actually at the airport getting ready to travel to, I think it was conference championships, when everything was called off and they were told to go home and they had to sit in the airport and wait, and how devastating that is. And honestly, thinking about basketball moving forward in the 2021 season, we don't know whether or not that's going to be possible. Right now, you've already had a couple of conferences who have canceled through the end of the year, which means at the very least, basketball would be postponed. And so there are a lot of other athletes that are really mourning the loss of their opportunities and now trying to figure out what happens. And there's a lot for the universities to sort out too, because we don't know for sure how many of these athletes will stick around. And then how many scholarships do you have? Let's say a bunch of these athletes redshirt. They keep their scholarships, but they redshirt. They want to play next year. Well, then how do you make room for the seniors? There's only so much money for so many scholarships to go around. How does the NCAA navigate that? So there are a lot of athletes whose sports careers are hanging in the balance, but also, as I say, for seniors, it's a tough choice. Do you put your future on hold, your career on hold, to play a sport? And we're talking about a very small percentage of athletes who are thinking of going pro or who hold on to Olympic dreams and goals, or maybe participating in a national team, whether it's here in the United States or whether it's in one of their own countries if they happen to be an international student. For some, there are those possibilities, but for most of them, this is really the pinnacle of their athletic careers. And so it's difficult because there's so much uncertainty and you don't have a lot of information upon which you can base a decision. So we're thinking about them as well on this Friday morning. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So we have a lot to do next hour. If you missed my conversation with Joshua Perry, he is a former Ohio State linebacker, was a national champion. Now he's with the Big Ten Network. And he joined us earlier in the show. And we talked to him about college football specifically inside the Big Ten. But I asked him about the potential for spring football because his former coach, Urban Meyer, put it this way, no chance. And then we also talked about the feelings, the emotions of the athletes, many of whom he played with. So he's talked to this week. And in addition to that, whether or not this was the right call by the Big Ten versus what the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, and a couple other conferences have chosen to do in moving forward. So we'll share that conversation with you again. If you're not going to be with us for the full next hour, you can always grab our podcast, After Hours, amylawrence.com. So coming up next, Joe Kelly doubles down again. And we've also got nearly a complete NBA playoff picture. Damian Lillard pushed to the brink by a box and one, courtesy of Jacques Vaughn and the Brooklyn Nets. Good stuff so far. Plus more sudden death in hockey. We're going to cram it all into our final hour. Good morning to you on this Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.